Good morning. It's the 2nd of March. Our New Testament reading today is 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read to you from Brother Michael Ashton's book. I read, "After the judgment, when the righteous are changed, it will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Paul immediately acknowledges the need for this change. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." He was especially conscious of the burden of mortality and wished desperately to be free from it. In his second letter to Corinth, he speaks of mortal human nature as a frail tent, our earthly house. He goes on to say, "We who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." That's 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 4. The same figure of putting on clothing fitted for the new life in the Spirit occurs in 1 Corinthians 15. And in both passages, Paul uses the same Greek word to describe what happens. When our present mortality is clothed upon with immortality, and corruption with incorruption, death is swallowed up in victory. That's chapter 15, verse 54, quoting Isaiah 25, verse 8. There is an echo here of the destruction following Korah, Dathan and Abiram's rebellion, when the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with all their goods. The same finality is indicated for death itself at the last day. Reference to mortality and corruption is not duplication of terms. There are two distinct and separate concepts involved. When Adam was told that he would die, it was a gracious word from God. The concept of an immortal yet corruptible sinner is awful to comprehend. So, the resurrection body will be both immortal and incorruptible. All the effects of mortality will be removed, and death and the grave will no longer be any threat. It is as the prophet Hosea declared, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" As the apostle reflected on this prospect, he asked himself about death's sting, and recognised that the idea could be confusing. Surely death is the punishment inflicted by sin. So in a brief verse he captured Bible teaching about sin and death. Death entered the world because of man's disobedience. It is therefore possible to describe sin as death's weapon. Remove sin and death has no power. It is disarmed. And the way sin continues to inflict death is through law. For sin is lawlessness, as we read in 1 John 3, verse 4. The great prospect of victory over sin and death also caused Paul to reflect on how it would be achieved. Men and women will not become victorious by their own endeavours, for by themselves they are powerless to overcome. This is where the resurrection of Christ is all important, for he was victorious over sin throughout his life, and by resurrection he showed that the grave could no longer hold him. The captain of our salvation has therefore conquered both sin and death, and we can share in this victory through God's goodness. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Although the way has been prepared and the victory has been won, something is still required from us. Paul concludes his comments on resurrection by encouraging the Corinthians to stand firm and not to be moved. It seems they were liable to be disturbed by novel ideas and suggestions, and the apostle has therefore taken them back to the simple truths that can underpin a robust faith. "Be assured," he says, "that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Thankfully, the same is true for disciples in every generation. Thank you for listening.